Shin Tzadi Aleph. It's a new simon. Page Resh Nun Ches. Shin Tzadi Aleph, the beginning, it comes after page 514. We did the pictures. Now we're up to Shin Tzadi Aleph. Kuchol Mishpatei Bittel Lemishach Shachach V'le'er B'chatzeroi Kein Hu B'mavoi. The Mechaber is telling us now that all of the laws that we've learned in the previous Simanim about Bittel apply on a larger scale in a Mavon. Now, we learned about a Bittel. We learned about a single courtyard. In a single courtyard, let's make believe, for example, we have 10 people in a single courtyard, and one person forgot to participate in the Eruvei Chatzeros. What is the law? So we are troubled. The other 9 people are not allowed to carry. One person did not participate. The solution is that one person should relinquish his rights in the courtyard. And when he does so, he may not carry, but everyone else may carry in the courtyard. But they may not come and enter into his home. They might not carry into his home. Now, these are very complex laws. We went through a lot of details. So basically, what you have to remember is that we have a courtyard of 10 people, 10 batim. One person did not participate. The solution is he should relinquish his rights in the courtyard to the other 9 people. We're now going to take the same concept and we're going to expand it to a mavui. Let's say in the mavui we have 10 courtyards. And each courtyard has made among themselves an eruvei chatzeros. And they want to carry in the mavui. In order to carry in the mavui, all 10 courtyards have to join together in a shitufei mivos, in a shituf. What happens if one of the courtyards does not join in the shitufei mivos? That courtyard ruins it for the other 9 courtyards. They are no longer allowed to carry from their courtyard into the mavui. What's the solution? Same idea. The solution is the courtyard that failed to participate in the shituf should relinquish its rights in the mavui. They will be viewed as a guest to the other 9 courtyards, and now the other 9 courtyards are permitted to carry, and number 10 is not permitted to carry. So we're just taking the same idea, and we're expanding it to the larger principles in computer school, object-oriented programming. This is mamash, this is everything same in your code, programming, same as that you have these little teeny sodas, little teeny concepts which you can break down into teeny little parts, you can take them, you can multiply them, you can expand them into a much greater concept, much greater applications. So yes, exactly what it is. So one more time the words of the Mechaber, Kuchol Mishpatei HaBittel Lemish Shachach V'lai Erev HaTzero Keinu B'mavoi Shem Shachach HaTzer Achatz. If one courtyard forgot V'lai Nishtatva Mivateles Rishusa L'shar B'nei HaMavoi, period. Oyhem or law, or they can relinquish their rights to it. Now, afal pi she'e shem rabim, even though they are rabim, shebnei chotzer legabe mavui, even though they are rabim, doesn't matter, shebnei chotzer gabe mavui chashuvim ki yochid b'chotzer. He's saying over here a very interesting idea. The Mechaber is asking a question, it's a hidden question. How could it be that one courtyard, If they forget to relinquish their right to join the shituf, is allowed to relinquish their rights to the other 9? We have a rule that only an individual can relinquish, but not a group. A group of people, when they relinquish, it does not work. There are a lot of details that are mentioned. We have in the previous simanim. So, if we have one courtyard is made up, make believe, of 5 people. So one person can relinquish his rights to another group, but not many people. Multiple people cannot necessarily relinquish. The answer is that since this courtyard has joined together in an Eruvei Chatzeros, they are considered one. Only time you'll have a problem of many people is in the courtyard itself. In the courtyard itself, you have 10 people and 1 didn't, and 2 people did not relinquish. So if 2 people are going to relinquish, or the other way around, let's say the 10, the other 8 want to relinquish to 2 people, then it does not work. Because you cannot have relinquishing of rights being done to groups. It has to be done to individuals. So here we have courtyards, we're dealing with group. In the courtyard itself, there are multiple people. It's no longer called a single person, it's called a group. The answer is that being that the courtyard itself has joined together in an Eruvei Chatzeros, In halacha, we view the entire courtyard to be one. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah start to explain this idea in better, more detail. Let's see over here, Mishnah Berurah Beis. Af al pi shehem rabim, ahem loy ka. What is Verutzim? What do we mean to say? Explains the Kaimulam. We paskin besif besimin shen pei. The ein mevatlin reshus l'shnei anoshim shloyervu mibnei shehem oishrim ze al zevim kain l'choro gamacha harayesh rabim bechotzer the loy nishtatfu b'mavu. There's a rabim in the courtyard. The loy nishtatfu b'mavu. Eich yecholim levat alohem. How can the rabim? How can a group of people relinquish to a courtyard? It's a group of people. Kamash Malon, the cave on the Alkaponim also Eruv Chatzeres Yachad. Since this courtyard did make among themselves an Eruv, that is enough to make multiple people to be considered in Halacha as one, Ki Yachid Chashive. Okay, let's go back to the Mechaber. Second line. One more time, second line. Av Bishem Rabbim, Bishabne Chatzer Gabim, Mavi Chashuvim, Ki Yachid Bechatzer. Ukuchol Mishpate, third line. Ukuchol Mishpate Yisrael Bechatzer. The same laws that we apply to a courtyard with regard to a non-Jew, we apply to a mavi with regard to a non-Jew. What do we mean? Oy, the ear or a city, he explained, she'ein also latatl v'mavi abi'ir ha'mukefes chayma ad she'yiyu shtei chatzero sholbote yisrol bi'ir aval chotzer achas lo. Just like in a courtyard, the only time you are required to rent the reshus of a goy is if it's at least two Jews against one non-Jew. But if it's one Jew versus a non-Jew, one against one, you do not need to do. You do not need to do a schiras makom. If it's only one against one, only two against one is it required, but one against one is not required. Let's take that principle and expand it not to individual residents, but to courtyards. We have a mavui, we have an alleyway, and there are two courtyards. In one courtyard it lives 10 Jews, and in the other courtyard there are 10 non-Jews. Are we required to do with the 10 non-Jews across the street? No, because it's one courtyard against one. Only time you're required to do with the 10 non-Jews living across the street, Schiras Makom, to carry in the Mavui, is where it's two courtyards of Jews against one courtyard of a non-Jew. It has to be at least two against one. Ad sheyu shtei chatzer shel batei Yisrael be'ir. Aval chatzer achas lo. Afilu im harbe batim shel Yisrael psuchim l'socha. Even if there are many Jews, the one courtyard of Jews has 10 Jews. So if you look at the individual residents, you would say it's 10 against 1. So we should require schiras reshus from the non-Jew. The answer is no. We're not dealing here with individual bottom. We're dealing here with the mavi, the alleyway. We want to be able to carry from the courtyard to the alleyway. So we look at the courtyards. We count the courtyards. It's 1 against 1. There's no requirement. If it's 2 against 1, then there is a requirement. For who that goes out saying we're dealing in a situation where the city is a walled city that you're allowed to carry. Because the only time there's another principle. The only time you're allowed to carry in a city, dealing with the city as a wall. So the city technically is a reshus hayochid because there's a wall that surrounds the entire city. The only thing that we need in addition to the wall is we need to make the eruv. But we have a law that just because you have a wall around the city does not necessarily make it permitted to carry inside the wall unless the wall was built for the purpose of living. If the wall was once built for the purpose of to guard, it was some type of storage city, and then somehow the government, there was a cut in government funding, this should be a storage facility, and now people moved in, they started building houses, and they used the wall around for the purpose of protection, it's too late. The wall has to be built l'shem dira. If the wall was not built l'shem dira, then you're not allowed to carry inside. You have to knock down part of the wall and reconstruct the wall. We learned these halachas way back. Just reviewing that halach. Ustam, this points out now. Ustam ayaros, ustam a city. Hein mukafos l'dira is considered to be surrounded for the purpose of living. Ustam mivtzaros, fortresses. If you have a fortress there's a wall, and at a later point in time, people begin to live and to dwell and to set up tents and build houses inside a fortress. That is not called that it's mukefas diu stam mivtsarim, einam mukafim diu. They're not considered to be put up for the purpose of living. When you have two courtyards, shel bate yisrael beir. If you do have two courtyards, now he's going back to the regular simple case, and then we have here some halacha lemaisa. If we do indeed have two courtyards, shel bate yisrael beir. Tzrichim liskar mikol chotzer v'chotzer shel ein yehudi v'ein maspik b'ma sheyiskar misar ho'ir. Now we're getting into some very complex halachas. Let's say you have a community, and you have it surrounded by four walls, and the walls are good walls because the walls were constructed for the purpose of living, which means you invested tens of thousands of dollars to build, to go and inspect all the telephone poles and to put the lechis and to have inspectors to make sure the wall. We have four walls. Okay, we're in business. Now we're ready to make the eruv chatzeros. What else do we need to do? One more thing that needs to be done before you make a kosher eruv. You need to do with the non-Jews schiras rishos. So how many non-Jews living in your community? Let's say we have a community out of town. Let's not get into any complicated 3 million people shayla. You have a small community of 100,000 people out of town, and you put up a tzuras pesach around the entire community. We're not going to be machmir like the Rambam that we have to have the chayma oimed meruba parts. We're going to be make like we are. We have a tzuras pesach around the entire community, 100,000 people. There are about 30,000 Jews, and there are 70,000 non-Jews. So what do? So it says here, you got to go to every single non-Jew. Go to every single non-Jew and say, we would like to rent your rights in this community for our Erev.
And one says no to my child.
That's what it says, one thing at a time. It says, look at it, the Enoi Maspik, look what it says. It's not sufficient, Bamesh Sheyiskar Misar Hu'ir. Let's read the top line again. Let's go to the top line. Tzrichem liskar mikol chotzer v'chotzer. Okay, so maybe not every single person. It says every courtyard. Every apartment building. The landlord of every apartment building in this community, 100,000 people, you have to approach that landlord and ask him, would you be so kind to represent all of the people in the courtyard? That's what it says. Let's read. Tzrichem liskar mikol chotzer v'chotzer shel ein shel yehudi ve'enai maspik b'mash sheyiskar misar ho'ir. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph. It's not sufficient. Even though the master of the city, in other words, the mayor or the senator or the governor, again, the governor probably is a better example, right? The governor, whatever it is, whoever's in charge, Mishnah Berurah says, it's here, they belong to him. Really? They belong to him? You have to understand that the Mechaber is writing this in Poland, right? Is that, I don't know, no, this is Spain. Mechaber's writing this Spain. And I guess the Shach and the Tas, they're commenting, they're writing their commentary in Poland, and the Mishnah Berurah is writing this thing in Russia. So every country has a different set of rules. Who owns the land? That's in Poland. But what about when the Mechaber is writing in Spain? Who owns the land? The king, right? The monarchy, the church, they own the land. The ain maspik b'mash. So who's the sar who ears? And the Mishnah Berurah explains, Av shabotim shelo. The sar, I don't know how the system worked back in the time of the Mechaber, but he owns the bottom. Misaron la'anshei ho'ir. He gave it over to people of the city. Al menash sheyishal muloi mas min abotim kinohug. The custom was you can keep the house as long as you pay real estate tax. The atam doesn't work. The sar does not have the right to expel the owner of the home as long as he pays the tax. So who's the balabas? The homeowner. The homeowner is the owner. He just has a side obligation to pay tax. or eminent domain, so it appears they did not. That's what it appears that the Mishnah is telling us from the time of the Mechaber. We're going to get to today in one moment, but it appears from the time of the Mechaber there was no such thing as eminent domain. The Tsar was limited in what he can possibly do. If they want to go build a train, Second Avenue, they want to knock you out, couldn't do it. They can't build a rail, they can't do it, they can't go in and build a road over your house. You own the house. As long as I pay tax, the church and the king and the queen, whoever's there, whoever's in charge, has no authority to take away your property. Therefore, when it comes to the Eruv, who are you dealing with? Who is the Baal HaBos with whom you need to do Schiras Rishus with the owner of the home? Oh, but he pays taxes. So what? I pay taxes. So the taxes doesn't mean that the one that I pay the tax to is the owner. I am the owner. That's what the Mechaber is telling us and the Mishnah Berurah is explaining. The tax is a side issue. The legal owner is the landowner. Eminent domain is meaningless. Even if though this Tsar is in charge of the laws, he is the Supreme Court, he is the Chief Justice. Doesn't matter. It's not his department. Hagah. Now we go to the Ramah. Okay, Rav Isserles. Where did he live, Rav Isserles? What?
Germany,
France. Okay, so yeah, he came to... Yeah. Rav Isserles, you know, this was an amazing thing. Think about it. Today, this would never happen, such a thing today. You have a son who writes a Sefer. Okay, a Sephardi, Rav Yosef Cairo. You know, the Shulchan Aruch was never meant to be a Sefer. It's like, these are meant to be like summary notes. The Beis Yosef, the Torah, he wrote a Perish on the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef. This was a Sefer. The Shulchan Aruch was an afterthought. It was like, oh, I'll just write like a summary, just bullet points. Bullet points, the Chazir, all the main Yisodos of my Sefer, the Beis Yosef. So he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. It took off. People, it was gewaldic. People like, you know, they like, in college, we used to have the cliff notes, right? All you have to cram for an exam. You get these, that's what it was cliff notes. So what happened? Along came the Rambam. The Rambam says, this is Svarad Shemin Hagim. This is Spain. This is not the way we do things here in Europe. Not the way we do things in Germany and France. So what would you do? What would the average person do? You'd write your own cliff notes. I remember to go into the Brooklyn College, the store, the bookstore. It wasn't just cliff notes. It's a lot of competition. A lot of competition. There were like 10 different. We in high school, we had all barons. Yeah. But then there was cliff notes and barons, and there were all these, you know, whole wall of all the different, all the competition. You'd write your own cliff notes. No. He did something that was amazing, was a genius. He was, this is a chiddush, even today knowing this. He wrote a gloss on the cliff notes. And he consulted with the Rav Yosef Cairo. He went to him and he said to him, I want to take your Sefer, I want just to append for the Ashkenazim. Not that I'm going to make my own book. I just want to add. And he asked him questions and he worked together with the competition to produce this new work, which includes Svar Shemin Hagim, which is the Mechaber, with the adding the gloss, the notes, the gloss of the Ramah. It's an amazing thing because it's not the way, especially today. Today we're a little bitter. Yeah, this is no good. I can do better. I write my own book, my own edition. He built upon something which already was existence in the lifetime with the cooperation and the assistance and the agreement of Rav Yosef Cairo. So it's an amazing thing. Hagah. V'yei shomer. The dafka l'inyin lo yitzi l'hachnes l'rishus v'en Yehudi. That's only when it comes to l'hachnes. This is a side point. It's a leniency. This that we're telling you that you have to go to every single landlord and rent from every single landlord, that is only if you want to bring your things from your house or from the street into the guy's house. But if I'm not planning on taking my property and bringing it into the guy, the non-Jew's home, I only want to carry in the street I'm not going into the homes of the 70,000 non-Jews in the community. 30,000 Jews in our example, there are 70,000 non-Jews. I'm not planning on going into one of their homes. I'm only going to go into the street. I'm going to go into my neighbor's home, my friend's home, my brother, my sister, my cousin, my uncle, or to the Beis HaKnesses, but not into the non-Jews' home. Just to go into the street? Oh, this is so important for us today. The street? That you can do. Then you don't have to go to every single guy. You can go from the sar, whoever is in charge, the mayor. Just give the mayor a couple of bucks. No one is watching. I once had a sanitation Erev Pesach, before the week of Pesach, and I told him we had a lot of garbage, so I they're not going to take it. I knew that. So I met him, I saw him, I said, listen, you know, do me a favor. I get $40, a ton of stuff. It was a lot of money, $40. Maybe it was $20. So he saw the money, his eyes lit up. It's like really like illegal as it gets, how we're trying to clean away. He says, don't give me the money. Just put the money down on the floor, just drop the money. Drop the money. So he told me. Drop the money. Just drop it on the grass. Don't worry. The money's not going to get lost. And we'll take care of the garbage.
While they're taking the garbage away.
He was afraid an inspector was around the corner. You know, the little cars was watching. Just drop the money on the grass.
He wants 20 from the 40.
There were two workers. We had to give them each one. Well,
the guy watches him. I'll in the Kedusha.
Yeah.
As a Medetron for Shalosh Regolim. The Indian about putting a sukkah on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's
a big machlokes. It's a big shiloh. So oilam is makel. It's makel. I don't know what the answer is. Shulah gzula, gezel rabim. Is it tolerated? I don't know. I don't know. Some do, some don't. All right, the people look, there are non-Jews that do the same thing. You know, non-Jews that they have different things that they put in front of their stores for short periods of time, for a few days. No one's going and making giving them a hard time. So why, if the Jew wants to put up a sukkah outside the store for the customers, so no one's giving them.
It's hard time. Outwards belong to.
It's understood. It's understood that the street. There are certain conventions. There are certain understanding.
If you fall, who do you sue? The police store or the city?
Even though everyone pays taxes, there's an understanding that you don't have to be makbid, hakpada gemur, that I have to be able to walk on every little corner of the sidewalk. The Jews want to have their sukkah. And it doesn't get in my way. If it gets in my way, and it really is an inconvenience, it's already a different story. That's a different story. Let's switch on, because we're running out of time. We'll just read another Ramah. But he says he's a very important avolav. Talta b'mavi yochel l'skar min asar sharei derech ha'mavi hu shal asar v'yochel l'salei kol ha'enem yudim yisham, because the sar does have authority over the street. The mayor. It's today's news. In St. Lee, what's it called? In New Jersey? Fort Lee? The mayor. They're talking to us, closing the streets. Unbelievable. You see, because we're learning this. That's why they're talking that on the news. To give us an example, Fort Lee, if you're going to abuse the streets, it's construction, we're going to close the streets. So don't abuse the streets. Exactly what it says. Who's the mayor? Fort Lee. The mayor is in charge. He can close the streets. No one's going to travel here. Unbelievable. You see, you got into Yoma. Now let's see the Mishnah, and we'll stop. Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis, and tomorrow we'll do more. This is some very interesting indirishes over here on the side, which will take too long to go through. All of the opinions halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh in America. America is a very complicated place, as you know. So let's see Yud Beis. Yeshem some say v'chein eskim achrim l'halacha l'talta b'mavah Yud Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah l'hoitzim yivot yisro l'achnas l'chem. To change it, the law says the balabatim derech mitzad acher. He can control the flow of traffic. And therefore, v'yochol lahaskil lechem, and therefore, that's one of the very important heterim we have in Zman Hazeh, why we can make a community Eruv. You don't have to ask every single non-Jew in the community. When you were carrying the Eruv, there are two different levels. You have to keep this in mind. We learned a little bit more in the Mishneh Berurah and the other Poskim. But basically, there are two different madregos in the community Eruvim. Number one, okay, you make the Eruv, you have the walls. You have to make an Eruv Chatzeres, that's very easy. But you have to do Schiras Rishos. When you do the Schiras Rishos, how far does it let you go? Are you also allowed to carry into a non-Jewish home? I don't know, I really don't even know in Flatbush what the rules are. What the those who use the Flatbush Eruv, there are three rules. What?
It has to do with carrying to a guy's house?
Yeah, that's the question. There's no question. The purpose of the Eruv primarily was made in order that you can carry to shul, you can carry in the street, you can carry to another Jew's home. Are you in Flatbush allowed to carry from your home into the home of a non-Jew? You did not do. That's what this mission was saying. You did not do with the non-Jew, every individual non-Jew, schiras rishus. You don't have the schiras rishus that when they made the Eruv was made with the sar. Does the Tsar have authority to rent the Rishus of every single individual non-Jewish home? Simply, well, I think that's a very big debate. It's a very big debate here. We're going to read tomorrow. What?
We have eminent domain in New York.
What?
There is
eminent domain in New York?
Yes, sure.
But how does Halacha recognize? How far does Halacha recognize eminent domain? That's a very big question. I don't know the answer. We're going to read tomorrow. I don't know the answer, but one thing we learn here from the Rambam that the Eruv works. You can reference at least to the degree where you can accomplish what you really 99.99% what you're trying to accomplish, making a community Eruv to carry in your home into the street, to the shul, to your Jewish neighbors. But are you allowed? You have to know. I don't know. You have to call up. I don't know. We have to be ma'ayin into this. What the halacha is? What they pass in for Flatbush? Those who use the Eruv, are you allowed to carry your property into the home of a non-Jew? From the Mechaber and the Rambam, it's mashma, definitely not. Definitely not. You're not allowed to. That far, there's no schiras. You're not allowed to do that. Something to keep in mind. It could be, we'll see, that the Zman Hazeh, and this what we talk about is that being there's modern plumbing, and there is Con Ed, there's electricity, and there is plumbing, and there is sewage, and there are gas lines, and there are many things which the city does control, which does enter into every single person's home. It's considered more of another concept, which if you have rishus to leave your kelim, your object in someone else's home, that's already called you have a shlita on that person's home. And when you do schiras makom, it works for them as well. So I definitely believe there are opinions that are lenient that do allow you to carry into the non-Jewish home when you rent from the Tsar Ha'ir, because the city, to a certain degree, does have objects or rights in your home with regard to water, electricity, gas, and sewage, and so on and so forth. And of course, you want to go say further, as you mentioned, maybe they have eminent domain. There are certain rules. It's very complicated. The United States is a halacha. Never, we don't have any traditional sources to deal with United States of America. The chidushim, corporations and land ownership, democracy is something which is new to halacha, and something which halacha has to have to take from Shulchan Aruch and figure out how to apply to modern day. And this is one example. How do you view eminent domain in New York City with regard to these laws? We'll stop here.